The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
We're joined now by the Minister for Housing, Darragh O'Brien, who it seems is finally about to move on new co-living developments. Developments which indeed have been described by Taoiseach Micheál Martin previously as having the potential for glorified tenement living. So what are you going to do, Minister?
Well, Matt, two things. Well, I've already today made the decision that no future developments, co-living developments, will be permitted. I'm amending the 2018 planning guidelines. I don't know when you say finally. I've only been in charge since July. So what I did when, and I said actually on your show and in the Dáil that I would actually review co-living, I would do detailed research on it, which I've done. So I've based the decision on that research. I've published the research as well in the report that I've based my decision on. I had a concern, frankly, that about the concentration of some of these potential developments, the impact they may have on further increasing land prices in areas that can ill afford it, and the fact that we would really be looking at what was announced as a niche measure within housing becoming more prevalent than anyone would want, or indeed than I would desire. So that's why I've moved at this stage to do that. That amendment to the planning guidelines will be issued by me by way of a circular to all local authorities and indeed to the planning authority.
But so the reason I ask finally is you had been very vocal about this before you became a minister. I think people thought you might do it in the summer. And particularly because does this particular action that you've taken today include those for which planning permission has already been applied?
Well, I think I was very straight in what I said. Yes, I was critical of these developments, and I think I had to base my decision on the facts, which I've done, so we didn't delay in it. The change isn't retrospective. If someone had been granted planning permission for one of these developments, there's about 14 that are granted for about 2,100 units. I can't have any legislation can't be retrospective on that, or any changes to the planning guidelines, because it doesn't require legislation as such. But what it does do is set down a clear marker that the presumption in all planning applications that would come in future would be a grant against, would be a refusal of the permission, because I want us to focus on delivering social homes, sustainable homes, affordable homes, which is why in the budget just gone that we've over €3 billion focused at housing alone to deliver affordable and social housing, affordable housing for working people, social housing at scale never seen before in this state, with 9,500 new homes being built out of just under 13,000 being delivered. So we've a challenge to do this, but we've the resources in place to do that. And I thought it appropriate that, you know, government make this decision and that we make the decision to show the direction that we're going in. To be fair, in 2018, when the planning guidelines brought in co-living, there was a review built into that. So I've used that review, I've done it, I've published it, and I've made my decision on the back of the information that was supplied to me.
You say you can't retrospectively disallow these, you know, that have made the applications for planning. Why not? Given
well,
that it's in the public interest.
Because they're granted permission already, Matt.
Hold on. Surely there's a public health issue here that if you have a situation where I think a lot of people are worried that co-living would actually spread COVID-19, can you not say that now that we have learned things, introduce new laws that would actually make priorly granted planning permissions inactive on the basis that there's a public health risk?
Yeah, we sought legal advice on that, Matt, and you can't, okay? That can't be done. What I would say to you is there's some of these permissions go back, you know, well over a year. They were legal. They were granted on the basis of the planning guidelines that were in place. So I think what's really important, though, is that it's very clear what happens into the future. There's a very small amount that are granted, but I didn't want that to be any more, and that we would have a higher concentration of them, particularly in our cities or certain parts of the cities. So legally, you know, I couldn't make that change to anything that has been granted legally at the moment, and I don't think anyone would expect that would be done. What I would say, and I think it's important to know as well, is that not one of these has been built. And that is something that I found, certainly from looking at the research, to be curious in some degree that there you can see in some...
Yeah, why haven't they been built?
Yeah, potentially, look, I think there's been... that one could look at it and say that some of the permissions that were granted were conversions of previous permissions, where we might have had apartments granted permission, and then another application went in and actually increased the number of units on a site, thereby increasing the value of that site. And I didn't like to see that happen. I think that if that was allowed to spiral out of control, could have been very dangerous. So it appears to me in some instances that it may have been speculative. Now, I could be wrong. That's just an opinion that I'm giving. But certainly there's a risk, and it's covered in the report and in the letter that I sent to my own officials, that one of my concerns was the inflationary impact on land values because of the increased densities that these developments allow above and beyond what would normally be allowed. And the fact that we're actually seeing, when we compared it to other European cities and I compared it to the Greater Manchester area, that on a pro rata base we've as many permissions granted as they have in place in Greater Manchester. They have about 5,000 permissions in place for units. We've just over 2,100 with a portion of the population. So I couldn't let it go unchecked, but I needed to base my decision on independent and detailed research that has been done, has been published for all to see, where it outlined the options of what I could do. And I've chosen the option which effectively bans future developments of co-living units, because we need to focus on building sustainable homes and sustainable communities.
Minister, in the general election earlier this year, if we can cast our mind back to that, it seems so long ago, health and housing were the two major issues. In fact, arguably housing was the major issue. How much of a setback has COVID-19 been to the provision of better supply of public housing and also to a supply of privately constructed housing?
Yeah, look, it has had a major impact, Matt. We've had the private house building sector was closed for about 12 weeks and the public homes about 7 weeks, but in real terms between 7 and 10 weeks. So from the information that I receive, we're looking at potentially less than between 16 and 18,000 house completions this year. At the lower end, some have gone as low as saying 14,000, and at the higher end, 18,000, which is about half of what we need. The ESRI research that I commissioned shows that we need about 33,000 housing units per year. Now,
number changed? Sorry, given that the economic circumstances of the country has changed, and perhaps there are people will not be coming to work here or might have left the country during COVID-19, have the numbers of required housing changed dramatically in any way?
Not really, Matt. The ESRI data, which I commissioned, will be published. If it's not being published today, it'll be published very shortly. I think it's interesting because it takes a lot of that into account. It still averages it out that we'd require about 33,000 units. Other commentators would say more, but from looking at all the different inputs into the sector and in population growth, net immigration, those type of things, that's what it looks like we need. Now, to go back to your question as well, if we look at what we're going to deliver this year, there was a target this year of delivering just over 11,100 public housing units between build, acquire and lease. And we won't hit that target this year. That was a target that was set by the last government, but we'll be a way off that. And it's something that we're looking to close off as many as possible as we can this year to catch up on that.
That's okay, but another point, Minister, is it that you might need to change a view as to where the housing is actually required? If you now have this dramatic shift in where people are actually going to work and working from home, and given that it's now opened our eyes to the potential maybe of developing other cities outside of Dublin and rural locations, will there be a change in emphasis as to where the government authorises the construction of public houses and encourages the construction of private housing?
Yeah, look, that's a really good point. And if you look at the National Planning Framework, to be fair, that looks at actually developing in our regions and bringing about balanced regional development, looking at the five other cities outside of Dublin and how they can be developed better, because there's no question with COVID, a lot of people have been able to work from home, have been, you know, working in their own regions and not having to commute up to Dublin. So the National Planning Framework actually shows that and you know, outlines that as it is already, because there was a lurch towards development in the Greater Dublin area over time. That's not to say there won't be development within Dublin and in the adjacent counties. Of course there will, but the National Planning Framework looks at balancing that development to our regions. And I think with you know, the lessons learned from COVID and how people are able to work from home, you know, there are also opportunities there. And opportunities, and that people have been able to see that they've been able
Minister,
to
the reason I ask you about that is because of housing affordability. There's a report out today from Moody's. I don't know whether you've seen it. It's reported in the Irish Times in the last couple of hours. But I'll just read you a couple of lines from it for you and for the listeners. They've warned that housing affordability, across Europe is going to worsen for young and low-income groups after COVID-19, that the pandemic will speed up fundamental shifts in the European housing market, with affordability declining despite falling house prices. And further down, it actually looks at certain locations and brings Ireland into its analysis. It says that Dublin has the third highest ratio, behind only Paris and Amsterdam, with home buyers needing 17 times the average annual disposable income to purchase a basic living unit. Now, that can't be sustainable for Dublin to be that expensive behind Paris and Amsterdam, can it?
No, it certainly isn't sustainable. And that's why in the budget I secured monies to move on with an affordable purchase scheme and an affordable rental scheme. We've about €500 million in total in affordability measures. You're right, one thing I've spoken about on your show and many others on a regular basis and in the Dáil is that I believe in home ownership, and I believe that, you know, that it's an honest and just aspiration, but people should not have to chase an unaffordable mortgage either. And that's why in the budget recently we increased and maintained the increase in the Help to Buy grants as a short-term measure, up to 30,000 to help people with their deposits. But that's why I'm moving forward with the affordable purchase scheme, predominantly for first-time buyers, and why I'm going to have a new tenure of housing next year, which will be on the affordable rental side, which many governments have talked about, you know, over the last number of years, but have not yet delivered. I was actually on site in Dunleary Rat Down on the Enniskerry Road cost rental pilot, which has been built there, which will be tenanted next year. And I've secured funds for another 350 of those tenancies to start it off. But yes, affordability is a major issue.
And it's not just for ownership, according to this report. I'll just finish on this point, Sure. Minister Dara O'Brien.
No problem.
It says, as incomes decline amid the economic downturn in Europe and temporary government wage support schemes taper off, renting will become less affordable for many households. This will lead to an increase in demand for social housing, it says, in the aftermath of COVID-19. However, fiscal pressures at a government level will limit capacity to extend temporary income support schemes or fund new social housing above what is already planned. Now, that's what it's saying for the EU, but presumably that's going to be a major crisis facing Ireland as well.
Well, I wouldn't look that already we have a housing crisis that we're addressing, and I think people see that across rental, both public and private. The situation with regard to our homeless community, that have to remain a priority for me in this government to reduce homelessness. What I would say, Matt, on a more optimistic side of things, is that we've produced the single biggest budget allocation for housing in the history of the state for 2021, over €3 billion, that I have planned now next year just to deliver under 13,000 public homes next year, 9,500 of those to be built, which will be the single biggest building program in the history of the state, and to roll out affordable housing measures like an affordable housing scheme for our young and not so young people, frankly, because people are getting older by the time they can get to buy their first home. The average age of owning your own home now, or not buying your first home, should I say, is up to 35 years of age, whereas 15 years ago it was 26. So that shows you that the dream of home ownership for a lot of people is slipping out of the grasp of a whole generation of people. We want to reverse that, and I think the budget is a really, really good start in that, but whilst doing so, to make sure we're ramping up the delivery of public housing. And that's what we're doing. I've made some changes already, like to make it easier for local authorities to build the single stage approval process so that the local authorities can get on and build themselves schemes of up to 6 million. That was a change I committed to whilst in opposition that I've done now. I also made a commitment that we'd look at the whole area of co-living. We've done that and we've made that decision here now. I made a commitment as well that we would move forward on bringing about affordable housing measures and affordable housing for young people. We're just short of now producing the legislation on that, raising the first-time buyers grant to 30,000, which about 19,500 people and families have accessed. And, you know, that has been a help in getting people, because most people will say that the most preferred form of housing tenure and the most secure is if one can either own your own home or be in a public home for rental. And that's where our focus on housing for all of this government is, Matt.
Thank you very much, Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.